I was already standing in the kitchen when the phone buzzed. I hadn't finished my coffee. My shoes weren't on yet. I was already late. I looked at the screen and felt my body decide before my mouth did. I wiped my hands on a towel I didn't remember using. I opened the cabinet where I keep the envelope with the cash folded too neat. I told myself I would replace it by Friday. I told myself the same thing last month. He didn't ask if I was okay. He didn't need to. I was still breathing. So that meant yes. Outside, Brooklyn was waking up without me. Buses. Voices. Somebody laughing too loud. I stood there listening to him explain why this time was different, why this time mattered, why I was the only one who could fix it. I didn't interrupt. I didn't argue. I just realized, standing there, that I couldn't remember the last morning that started with something I needed. I wake up before the alarm most days. Not because I want to, because my mind starts listing what could go wrong. I lie still and listen to the apartment. The radiator clicks. Someone upstairs walks heavy. I check my phone without moving my head. No messages. That means I still have time. I get up quietly. The floor knows my feet. I know where not to step. The kitchen light hums when I turn it on. I make coffee the same way every morning. Strong, no sugar. I drink it standing up. I don't sit anymore. Sitting feels like settling in. I look at the calendar on the fridge. Bills circled in red. Dates crossed out that don't mean anything anymore. I open the cabinet above the stove. The envelope is still there, thinner than it should be. I close the cabinet fast, like it might notice me, like it might ask questions. His door is closed. That means he came in late. Again, I don't knock. I never knock. I listen instead. Breathing, that's all. I tell myself he's resting. I tell myself he needs it. I tell myself a lot of things before 8 a.m. I shower quick. I don't let the water run too long. I hear my mother's voice in my head when I do. She used to say waste shows itself. In money. In time. I dry off and get dressed for work. Same blouse. Same shoes. I check my bag before I leave. Keys. Wallet. I pause. Then I reach back into the cabinet and take the envelope. I count what's left. It's not enough. It's never enough. I fold it back the way it was. Neat. Like control. I put it back and close the door again. I tell myself I'll figure it out. I always do. I leave a plate of food on the counter, covered, just in case. I don't write a note. I stopped doing that years ago. Outside smells like garbage and bread from the bakery on the corner. Brooklyn, in the morning, doesn't wait. I move with it. On the train, I stand even when there's space. I hold the pole and watch my reflection in the glass. I look older than I feel and younger than I am. At work, I do what I'm supposed to do. I answer phones. I smile when spoken to. People call me dependable. They say it like it's a compliment. I nod like it is. During lunch, I check my phone again. Still nothing. That should mean peace. It doesn't. I think about what he might need later. Money. A ride. An excuse. A place to land. I finish my shift and head back home. I stop by the grocery store, even though I told myself I wouldn't. I buy things I know he likes. I tell myself it's cheaper than eating out. I tell myself it's practical. I tell myself I'm just planning ahead. The cashier asks if I want a bag. I say yes, even though I have one in my purse. I don't want to juggle. When I get home, his door is open. That means he's awake. Or gone. He's in the living room. On the couch. Shoes still on. The TV is on but muted. His phone is in his hand. He looks up when I come in. Ma, he says. Just that. I answer anyway. Yeah. He asks what I made. Not how my day was. Not if I'm tired. I tell him. He nods. That's the whole exchange. I go into the kitchen and start cooking again. The food I bought earlier joins the food I made this morning. I move on autopilot. He comes in while I'm stirring. He leans on the counter like it belongs to him. It does. He tells me about something that didn't work out. A job lead. A friend who didn't come through. I listen. I always listen. I don't interrupt. I don't ask questions that would slow him down. He talks in circles. I know where it's going. I let him get there on his own. He sighs. He rubs his face. He says my name. That's the part that still gets me. The way he says it like a request, like a reminder. I ask how much. My voice sounds calm. He tells me. My chest tightens. I don't let it show. I turn off the stove before answering. I wipe my hands on a towel. I nod. I say okay. I don't say when. He doesn't ask. We eat together. At the table. The same table he did homework at years ago. He scrolls while he chews. I watch him without meaning to. He looks like a man. He still looks like my baby sometimes. That's the problem. After dinner, he goes back to the couch. I wash the dishes alone. The water runs hot. I scrub a plate that's already clean. I don't know why. I just do. Later, he asks if I can spot him until next week. Just until something comes through. Just until Friday. I don't ask what day it is. I already know. I go to the cabinet again. The envelope feels lighter in my hand than it should. I count slower this time. I hear him behind me. Not watching. Just there. I hand him the money. He doesn't count it. He says thank you like it's automatic. Like breathing. Then he asks if I'm okay. Yes. I always say yes. He goes back to the couch. I go to my room. I sit on the edge of the bed. I don't turn on the light. I think about calling my sister. I don't. I think about church on Sunday. The questions, the looks, I think about my mother, what she would say, what she already said years ago. A good mother holds things together. A good mother doesn't complain. A good mother doesn't let her child fall. I lie back and stare at the ceiling. I feel tired in places sleep doesn't reach. I feel it anyway. From the other room, I hear him laugh at something on the TV. It sounds easy. It sounds young. I tell myself this is temporary. I've been telling myself that for a long time. I reach for my phone and open the banking app. The numbers stare back at me. They don't move. I close the app. I open it again. I close it again. I roll onto my side. I face the wall. I tell myself tomorrow will be quieter. I tell myself next week will be different. I tell myself I can hold a little more. Then my phone buzzes. A notification from the bank. Not a message. A warning. I sit up slowly. The notification stays on my screen longer than it should. I read it twice, then a third time, slower. I don't panic. That surprises me. I put the phone face down on the bed, like it might calm down if I don't look at it, like it might change its mind. I get dressed for sleep without brushing my teeth. I sit back down. I pick the phone up again. The balance didn't drop overnight. It dropped because of me. I transferred money earlier than planned. I did it so quietly I almost forgot. Almost. I tell myself I'll fix it in the morning. I tell myself this isn't the worst it's been. I tell myself it's just timing. I hear him moving in the other room. The couch creaks. The TV clicks off. He knocks on my door. That's new. Ma, he says. Not loud. Careful. I say yeah. I don't tell him to come in. He opens the door anyway. He leans against the frame. He looks tired. He asks if everything's okay. He says he heard my phone buzz. He smiles like he's joking. I say it's fine. I say it's nothing. I say go to bed. He doesn't move right away. He watches me. That makes my stomach tighten. You sure? He asks. I nod. I look past him. He leaves. I lock the door after. I don't remember the last time I did that. Sleep doesn't come. It never does when numbers are involved. I lie there, listening to the building breathe. Pipes, cars. I think about the bank again. About the warning. About how many warnings I've ignored. By morning, I already feel behind. The alarm goes off like an accusation. I turn it off fast. I make coffee stronger than usual. My hands shake a little when I pour. I steady them on the counter. He's still asleep. I leave the apartment before he wakes. I don't leave food this time. On the train, I open the banking app again. The numbers are the same. They don't care that I'm tired. At work, I miss a call. Then another. My supervisor asks if I'm okay. I say yes. I smile. During lunch, I don't eat. I sit outside with my phone and stare at it. I calculate in my head. Rent. Utilities. What's left? There's no space. There hasn't been for a while. My sister texts me a photo of her lunch. Something colorful. I don't reply. She calls instead. I let it ring. I know what she'll say. I know how it will sound. I don't have the energy. When I get home that evening, he's not there. That should feel like relief. It doesn't. I put my bag down and sit at the table. I don't turn on any lights. I wait. He comes in after dark. He smells like outside and something sweet. He looks lighter. Good news, he says. He's smiling already. I don't smile back. That throws him. He tells me about an opportunity. A friend of a friend. Something starting soon. He says he just needs a little help to bridge the gap. Just until it starts. Just one more time. I feel something in my chest shift. Not break, move. I ask him when the last bridge ended. My voice surprises both of us. He laughs a little, then stops. He says I'm stressing him out. He says he's trying. He says I don't see that. I look at him. I really look. I ask him how old he thinks I am. He blinks. I ask him when he last paid a bill in this house. He shifts his weight. I ask him if he has any idea what happens when my account goes negative. My voice is still calm. He gets defensive. He says I'm making it bigger than it is. He says families help each other. That word lands heavy. Families. I think about my mother again. About how she never had a backup. About how tired she always was. I stand up. My knees ache. I tell him I can't give him any more money. Not tonight. Not like this. The room goes quiet. Not peaceful. Sharp. He asks if I'm serious. I nod. He asks what he's supposed to do. I don't answer right away. I say I don't know. That feels like telling the truth. He gets angry then, not loud, cold. He says he thought I had his back. He says he wouldn't do this to me. He says I'm changing. I don't argue. I don't defend myself. I feel tired in a way that doesn't lift. I feel clear. He grabs his jacket. He says he'll figure it out on his own. He says don't wait up. The door slams harder than it needs to. The apartment shakes a little. I sit back down. My hands are flat on the table. They're steady. I don't cry. That surprises me too. I clean the kitchen slowly. I wash dishes that were already clean. I wipe the counter twice. I go to my room and sit on the bed. I open the banking app again. The warning is still there. Another message comes in. This one from my sister. She asks if everything's okay. She says she heard something from church. I stare at the message. I type. I delete. I think about Sunday, about the looks, about the questions wrapped in concern. I think about what I've allowed, what I've protected, what it's cost me. I hear keys at the door. I don't get up. He comes in quieter this time. He stands outside my room. He doesn't knock. I hear him sigh. I hear him lean against the wall. He says he didn't mean what he said earlier. He says he's under a lot of pressure. He says he needs me. I close my eyes. I listen. I tell him I love him. That part is easy. I tell him I can't keep doing this. That part feels like stepping off something high. There's a long silence, long enough to matter. He asks if I'm choosing money over him. The question hits harder than I expect. I tell him I'm choosing myself. The words come out before I can stop them. He doesn't answer. I hear him walk away. The front door opens, then closes. I sit there alone in the dark. My phone lights up again. Another notification from the bank. This one isn't a warning. It's a deadline. I don't open the notification right away. I already know what it says. Deadlines don't explain themselves. They don't soften. They don't care about context. I set the phone down and stand up. My legs feel stiff, like I've been sitting too long inside something smaller than me. The apartment is quiet, too quiet. I walk through it slowly. The couch still has the shape of him in it. The air feels held. I make coffee even though it's late. Not because I want it, because I need my hands busy. The kettle screams when it's ready. I turn it off fast. I don't want noise. I sit at the table and finally open the message. It's short, direct. I read it once, then again. I don't feel fear the way I used to. I feel exposed. This is what happens when there's nothing left to shift around. No envelope, no extra day. I think about calling someone. Anyone. I don't. I go to bed without undressing. I sleep in pieces. When morning comes, it doesn't feel like a beginning. It feels like a continuation I didn't agree to. He isn't home. I don't check his room. I shower longer than usual. I let the water hit my shoulders until they stop pulling up around my ears. At work, I ask for an hour off. My supervisor looks surprised. She says, of course. I walk to the bank instead of taking the train. The cold helps. It keeps me here. Inside, everything is clean and quiet. Too polite. I sit across from a woman younger than my son. She speaks carefully, like I might break. She explains options, fees, consequences. I nod. I've been nodding my whole life. I sign papers I never thought I would. I don't rush. I don't stall. When I leave, my chest feels hollow. Not empty. Hollow. That night, he comes home late. Later than usual. He looks around like he's checking for something missing. Maybe me. He asks if we can talk. I say okay. We sit at the table, the same one. He tells me he stayed at a friend's place. He tells me he thought about what I said. I listen. I don't interrupt. He says he didn't realize how bad it was. He says he never meant to put me in this position. I look at his hands. They're restless. I tell him what happened at the bank. I keep my voice even. His face changes. Not guilt. Alarm. He asks why I didn't tell him sooner. The question almost makes me laugh. I tell him I've been telling him. Just not with words. He says he'll fix it. He says he'll step up. I don't respond right away. I let the silence sit between us. I ask him what that looks like. He hesitates. He says he'll try harder. He says he's figuring things out. I nod, but something in me doesn't move with it. He asks if I'm mad at him. I think about that. I tell him I'm tired. That feels closer. Days pass, then weeks. Some things change, some don't. He picks up a few shifts. He contributes sometimes. Sometimes isn't nothing. Sometimes isn't enough. I stop covering everything. I let lights stay off. I let food run low. It feels wrong at first, like I'm doing something cruel. At church, people ask how he's doing. I say fine. They tell me I raised him well. At night, I lie awake and think about who I am without fixing. The question doesn't have an answer yet. He starts staying out more. Not angry, just elsewhere. I don't chase him. That's new. One evening, he asks if I still love him. The question catches me off guard. I tell him yes, that hasn't changed. He asks if that means I'll always be here. The way he says it matters. I tell him I'm here now. I don't add anything else. The apartment feels different. Not lighter, clearer. I still worry. I still calculate. But I don't reach for the envelope anymore. There isn't one. Some mornings I miss the version of myself that believed love meant never stopping. Other mornings I don't. He talks about moving out, not as a threat, as an idea. I don't encourage it. I don't shut it down. When he finally leaves for a place of his own, it isn't dramatic. No speeches, no tears. He hugs me longer than usual. I let him. After the door closes, I stand in the quiet and listen to my breathing. It sounds unfamiliar. I don't know what happens next. I don't pretend to. I just know I can't go back to who I was when love meant disappearing.